This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I have a special guest and also a three-time returning guest. My wife is back with me, but also she brought in our little three-week-old girl, Lainey. So Stephanie and Lainey are here today. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
And we are going to, as you requested after pregnancy, is you wanted to give birth and then have margaritas.
Yes.
So today, actually, our friend got this for you for a gift. It is the Jose Cuervo Margarita Favorite Packs, and we'll be having them over ice. And I'll pour yours for you since you got Lainey in hand.
Okay.
And she looks adorable. And I am going to be drinking the Strawberry Lime Margarita, and you're just going to have the old classic margarita mix. So I will make this for you. And Lainey, what are you going to have to drink? What's Lainey having to drink?
Formula.
All right. Just in case, she's got formula coming. And well, these are perfect. This is a perfect size glass.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Oh, I'm going to put that over there for you. Jose Cuervo, if you want to sponsor, please let me know. And I have the strawberry lime margarita mix. That is a good one for me because I love strawberry and lime. And you can never go wrong with margaritas. So, I don't know if you can grab yours. I'll hand it to you. There we go.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To a successful birth.
Yes.
And if you hear a little bit of whining and crackling, it's just Lainey. She's learning what 3 weeks of living on Earth is like. We call her a little pterodactyl. Mm-hmm. And also, Lainey is going to be drinking, if necessary. She's already had a little bit beforehand, but she's got the Enfamil Neuro Pro. So Enfamil, if you want to sponsor, you know, I can do a baby formula sponsorship. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Because we could use more. She's
absolutely
sucking it down, and right now you're having it too.
It's very expensive, and we've been going through it quite a bit.
Well, the last time you were on was to announce that you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are about 9 months later, baby in hand. And yes. Her name, for all of those who are out there watching or listening, her name is Lainey. Her middle name is Monroe. And then obviously her last name is Jacobson. And I'm not really sure how we came up with the name other than you sent me list after list on TikTok.
Well, so I would send about 40 names and you would maybe like one or two of them.
Yeah.
I think being a teacher definitely did not help.
That's true.
The name selecting process.
That was a huge factor with it,
yeah,
for sure. I remember before we knew anything, we thought maybe it'd be boy, girl. We had many more boy names picked out than we had girl names, that's for sure. Girl ones for me, I don't know what it was and why that was so tough, but it was for me. I don't think it was for you, but it was for me. So we had our two top ones, and that was Nora was the other option, and then Lainey.
Yep.
And we had our dog, for those who probably saw it, we had our dog actually pick out the name because he was on his last week of life unexpectedly. Yes. And so we put him on tennis balls because there's another TikTok video you showed me.
Mm-hmm.
We put the two on tennis balls because we literally couldn't decide between those two. Because I would have been cool with Nora and I was cool with Laney. So it didn't matter which one Jake got us. So the middle name, though, that was a really cool. I like that one. But
it was actually an option for a first name.
Yes.
So then we just decided to put it in as the middle name.
Yep. And I think, you know what, it fits for a middle name.
Yeah.
Everyone says it's masculine. I'm like, to me, I think of Marilyn Monroe.
I think everybody, I do.
Well, some people think of President Monroe.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
So, but that's a different time and place. But anyways, we did stick it on the two tennis balls on his last good day of his life, our dog. And we tossed him on the yard. He went and grabbed one and brought it back to us. And that was Laney, how you got your name. So someday you'll have to watch that back and you'll know just how you got your name. She's sucking down that formula pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
She is eating. How much is she eating now again? About 4 ounces a day or yeah. Before feeding?
4 ounces per feeding, which is formula. When I give her that, or when we give her that, it lasts about 3 to 4 hours, they say, but she can vary between wanting some food every 2 to 4 hours, I think.
Yeah.
And then we also do, breastfeeding and then pumping for breast milk and then supplementing with formula. So all the things.
People ask me that all the time. I said, you can't keep up. It's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. I said, she's probably on like a 70-30 split. About 70% of the time she's drinking formula and probably 30% of the time it's breast milk.
Yeah, just because she likes to eat and I definitely can't keep up. So
no,
you can't. We have to do what's ever best for her and supplementing is what we got to do.
Yep. So. And it's working out pretty good. I would say I feel like she gets more gassy after the formula.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's just because of the formula and what's in it and things in the breast milk's more natural, but I want to get into this whole pregnancy thing because, again, like the last time I said you were here was to announce that we were having a baby, and now said baby is on here. But I want to talk about the pregnancy journey because this is one I never heard the end of is, we're 37 years old and it's a geriatric pregnancy. So let's go over this 37-year-old pregnancy journey because I never heard the end of it about the whole geriatric portion. I just figure, you're healthy, I'm healthy, the baby's gonna be fine. And I mean, well, she is, but
I think that men tend to forget that women are naturally have an internal clock, and it's something that we not only happens naturally, but it's something you also think about. And we just don't have as big of a window as men. And so, every year that passes, there's complications, there's things that can happen, like less likelihood of even being able to get pregnant. And so it's just something that I just constantly thought about because, we've been together a long time and then we've been yeah. married since 2023 And then it was like, okay, well, now it's time to start thinking about a family, and we can't wait forever. So, because just the window tends to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So, yeah.
Well,
it all worked out.
The more I told people our age, the more I actually found out that other people had babies even in their 40s, and they go, oh, we were fine, and made me feel good about myself, at least about that whole portion. So, I don't know if that was helpful. It maybe was helpful for me, maybe more so than you. But I think we may have gone over this question. I want to ask it again. What was your reaction or feeling when you first found out that you were actually pregnant? Because I know you woke me up, but before I was awake, what was your reaction?
Well, the process really was that I just was planning on taking a test, and I truly didn't think that it was going to be positive. I think it was just like, I'm awake, I have to go to the bathroom, I might as well take a test.
Sure.
And it just so happened to be positive at 3 a.m.
Yep.
And so I was obviously very surprised, very excited. And then the process of, okay, do I wake Chris up? Do I wait and do something fun, like get a cool present and surprise you? And then the thoughts started rolling through my head was, well, would he be mad if I didn't wake him up when I found out? Would he be excited that I waited? And I was like, I'm never going to be able to get back to sleep. So sure. I might as well just wake him up because this is too exciting.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, later you said you probably wished you were a little bit more awake when I told you. Yeah. But in hindsight, you know, I'm glad that we did it the way that we did it. And I wouldn't have it any other way because I was excited in the moment and I wanted to share it immediately.
Sure. So. Well, I remember I was excited, but I was like, well, hopefully this isn't a false positive. So make sure you take another one in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it actually happened as we had talked about on the last episode you were on, was that it happened almost perfectly because it was a Tuesday morning. You found out, we were able to tell all our family on our roughly 1 year celebration anniversary. So yeah, that was really cool because I remember the reaction my mom had. And my dad looked dumbfounded a little bit, like, what's going on here? And it was awesome. That was really fun to actually do that portion, I thought.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much I could have held back because I remember that whole week I had to go to school every day and not tell anybody that this was actually happening. Mm-hmm. But I was also happy that you did the second test and said, yep, it's correct.
Well, I went to the hospital later that day and got an official blood test just to make sure. And
yeah, and so, well, the one thing you did was the genetic testing. So what does that entail again? You told me what it was, but tell the audience what it is.
So at about 10 weeks, I was able to get, it was called the Matern 21 test, I believe okay. It was called. And it's a blood test that you do at a hospital. And we sent it in, took about 5 days to get back. And they called and they asked, do we want to know the gender? And I said, well, yes, but can you like leave it in an envelope? But they told us the list of all the genetic testing that they check for, which was about, I think, like 7 to 10 different things. And everything came back negative for her. And then when it came down to the gender, we just had them put in an envelope so we could do it later with family.
Yep, and then we did a Build-A-Bear thing. So we bought 2 Build-A-Bears for those who are listening. We bought 2 Build-A-Bears. We made 1 boy, 1 girl. I think I dressed up the boy one, you dressed up the girl one.
Yep.
And then we gave the envelope. We had like a gender reveal get together, I guess it was. What was it, like Thanksgiving, I think it was? Thanksgiving?
It was in November.
Yeah, I think it was probably a Thanksgiving get together. And so then my sister-in-law, your sister-in-law, Megan, she put the correct one in between us, and we both mm-hmm. dug in and grabbed it, and it was a little girl.
Yep.
And it was something to be, it was beside, I think I was beside myself, because we thought it was going to be a boy. You go, mm-hmm. all these wives' tales, I always tell everybody, all these wives' tales, my wife had, she said, I'm almost certain it's going to be a boy. So we had all these boys' names picked out, and then it turns out it was a girl, so we had a whole new thing to figure out girls' names, and we probably came up with the final two probably less than a month before she's even born.
Yeah, because I had all the symptoms, the wives' tale symptoms of, they say that you'd have a boy with.
What were some of those?
Oh, gosh. I was cold all the time.
Cold?
And then the heartbeat was apparently...
Your heartbeat?
Her heartbeat.
Her heartbeat, okay.
Could have been a boy. And then just some of the things that I was craving in the beginning.
Okay. So. All foods?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so some food. What were some of those foods? Do you remember?
I believe it was...
I know you were into hamburgers for a while.
I wanted protein all the time. And then a lot of, like, salty foods.
Okay.
And they say sweets is more girls, which tend to happen way later. Like, I wanted ice cream all the time.
You did?
Towards the end.
And Sour Punch straws.
Sour Punch straws. Yes. And
now we can have margaritas again.
Yeah.
Or so, do you want a drink? Just let me know if you need a drink.
Yeah, it's a little tricky.
Let me know if you need one. Just say, drink me or something. I can help you out with this. So now I got another part, because you already kind of went over the cravings portion.
Uh-huh.
But what were some of your, did you have any favorite parts of being pregnant? I know I did. You were a sober cab for a very long time. That was fun.
Yes. So my favorite part of being pregnant was, I think feeling her kick. That was, which didn't happen till after 19 weeks. Cause in the beginning I was very sick and then very nauseous all the time. I didn't get like aggressively sick. And then in the second trimester, things got better and I was finally able to eat. And then, which that's when her kick started, and they slowly became more aggressive too as she grew.
Sure.
and hurt a little bit more.
We could feel her hiccup. That was cool.
Yep.
Okay, so I remember you every so often, you're like, well, I haven't felt their kick in a while, and then you'd have some sugar, and she'd come to life, or you'd just eat, and she'd come to life.
Yeah, if we had some quiet moments, you know, being 37, it made me nervous, and so I wanted to make sure she was moving, because after, I believe it's 25 weeks, you're supposed to have kick counts.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you're supposed to have 10 within a two-hour period. I've heard that they are not going with this anymore, that's not really a thing. And then I've heard that it's a very serious thing, and then they take it very seriously, and that you're supposed to do your kick counts. And then I've heard that it's supposed to be at the same time every day, and then I've heard that it could be any time during the day.
Sure.
And so I just took it as long as she's moving within a good period of time at some point during the day, whether it was in the evening or in the morning, that's all I cared about.
Okay. Well, now one thing I got to ask you then, what was something that surprised you about the whole pregnancy, something that nobody really warned you about?
Well, you know, people always talked about the pregnancy glow.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but so women do, obviously.
I just assumed that when people say you have pregnancy glow, that you felt great and you looked great and things were going really well, and nobody warned me that was not the case. You felt awful the entire time. You did not feel pretty. You did not feel like yourself in your clothes when you looked in the mirror. And you just don't feel like yourself because your personality changes, because you become more irritable. You become pregnancy rage, which I definitely got portions of.
Did you
remember? I don't know, sometimes.
No, I don't really remember.
You just get mad really easily.
I thought you did great. I thought you were doing good.
I just didn't feel like myself at different portions of
it's
the pregnancy.
It's probably because you felt every little thing, whereas us outsiders, we don't feel your insides. But I always thought, like, they always ask, well, how is Stephanie doing with the pregnancy? I'm like, I don't know, she seems to be doing well. We go and do things, we're out in public. And that was another thing that surprised me, is you would hang out till like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. And
yeah.
All right.
Well, I tried, because I figured, you know, in a matter of months, weeks, our life is going to be 100% different. And I might as well try to stick with a little bit of our normal for now, because everything is going to be so different for both of us. And I wanted to give you that sense of normal too.
Oh, sure.
For the time that we could.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so I tried to hang. Sometimes it didn't really work out and I wanted to be home, but for the most part, I felt like I could do all my normal things. And yeah. I think when hearing some stories from some other women, that my pregnancy, I tried not to complain because it actually went really well.
Sure.
You know, some women would get like violently ill, and I never did.
No.
I felt like when I needed to sleep, I could nap. I was tired for sure, but...
Nothing. So how would you sum up your pregnancy in one word? Do you have one word that would?
I would use probably the word personal.
Oh.
And.
I thought you were going to say tired.
No. And then what I mean by that, I guess, is you feel very personal with how you feel. Like when you see yourself changing, the way your clothes fit, the way that you react to people, watching myself change with her, feeling her kick, everything, and then my relationship with her. It was very, very personal. And it's just now something after delivery that you miss. I had this one-on-one relationship with her that I didn't have to share with anyone. And now I share her with everybody, which is great. I love it. But you don't realize that you will miss this in postpartum. The kicking and being able to lay and just have this one-on-one thing that
sure.
is nobody else's besides you too. It's just very personal.
Okay. Well, that was not what I was expecting. Yeah, that's a good answer. I guess I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
So, well, now let's fast forward to the birth experience portion now.
Okay.
This is pretty recent, since As of yesterday, we're recording this on June 11th. So June 10th, she was literally 3 weeks old. Mm-hmm. When this comes out, she'll almost be a month old. So yeah. This is pretty new and recent in your mind. So what did it feel like when we started? Because you were going to get induced if she didn't have her beforehand. And I always thought you were going to have her beforehand just because those last couple of weeks you kept feeling this pressure. But we also we're going through Jake's thing and, you know, we had some sadness, a lot of
stress.
Yeah. And you said if she can make it through this, she'll be good. Which she did.
I said either she's going to be the biggest wimp or she's going to be one tough cookie for all the stress that I put her through.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to remove this.
You don't need that. You got hat hair. It's all good.
You got spiny hair. Oh, you might hear her fart once or twice.
That's okay. Good. Hopefully the mic picks it up.
It might.
So let's go over that now. We knew that if it didn't happen, we are going in that Monday morning, and that would have been the 19th of May, I believe is what it was. Yep, mm-hmm. She was born on the 20th of May. So when you're going in and we're on our way there, what are you thinking? What's going through your mind?
How painful everything's going to be.
Was that it?
Yeah.
That's what mine would have been, too.
I mean, being our first child, I don't know what it felt like, and I didn't know what to expect. I mean, everybody's pregnancies and everybody's deliveries are so different. And so everybody told me it's the most extreme pain you're going to feel in your entire life, but then you're going to forget it instantly, and it'll all be worth it. And that made no sense to me.
I know.
I'm like, this traumatic event, and then it's all going to be like totally fine. So I just assumed that, you know, this is going to be so traumatic and then everything is going to be exactly how they said. It's going to be just great. But it was only like that for a period of time, mainly because I did get an epidural. But the other thing I didn't expect was how everything would feel afterwards too.
Oh.
So, you know, when she came out, everything, it was very surreal.
Yeah.
When I saw her, it definitely didn't feel real, but it was overwhelming. I cried. And then the next day, her and I had some alone time. You went to the gym. And then it got very real. So she latched well. And we had a really good day. We had some really good moments, just her and I. And then it became very real. And postpartum stuff kicked in like crazy. And I got super emotional because, you know, the anxiety kicked in of am I going to do a good job? I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to screw up. And so nobody really warned me for how bad the postpartum could get in the first few days.
Well, that was one of the questions I kind of have, but I think there's something else you may have. I don't know if that's it. But another thing I want to ask you is what helped you get through some of these parts of the labor portion? Because you were in labor for roughly a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you feel during that time? Or what were some tough points and how did you get over it? I mean, you said you did the epidural, but that wasn't until day two, really.
Yeah, so I mean, when I was getting through the pain, I just remember people telling me that was going to be temporary, that my pain will eventually go away. And I just wanted to do everything correctly. So listening to the nurses and then making sure that I was following everything exactly because I wanted everything to go well for her safety-wise, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what really got me through, is just thinking about her and doing everything right and for her safety. And so she was nice and healthy.
Now, you said that you got the epidural and you said, I don't know how anybody could do it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even with the epidural, it still hurts.
So on Monday night from about 10 o'clock or so to about 4:30 in the morning, I was writhing in pain. When I was laying down, I could not get comfortable. The contractions were so extreme. And then I would stand up and I'd feel like I had to go to the bathroom. So when I'd go to the bathroom, everything was super painful. And then they had like one of those big yoga balls and I would go sit on the yoga ball and the pain would go away, but I'd get so tired. And so then I'd be like rocking back and forth. And I was nervous that I was going to fall over because I was getting so sleepy.
Oh, sure.
And so it was like, no matter what I did, it was a lose-lose situation. And finally, I convinced them to give me the epidural, and then everything changed. I ended up getting the spinal, they tapped into my spinal fluid, which gave me the headache.
Yep.
And which gave me back pain too. But it was all worth it because I don't know how people could
give a natural birth. Naturally.
No way.
What does it feel like when the epidural kicks in? Like you just literally can't feel anything?
Relief.
Relief?
Yeah.
And you couldn't feel anything from legs down? Or
no,
legs
yeah.
Down?
You become, you can go completely numb. You still feel pressure, but it's mainly numbness.
Do you need another drink?
Yeah.
Yep. Sure. Okay. Just tell me, drink me.
It's delicious.
It is. Yes. What does the ball thing, you sit on a yoga ball and yeah. I know people see this probably on TikTok all the time. What does that do for pregnancy then?
The yoga ball?
Yeah. What's it for? Cause I saw you kind of like bounce up and down. When we take Jake out, you kind of sit there and bounce up and down on it.
Well, so it's supposed to, what I believe is that when I'm at home, it was supposed to bring her down lower.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to start to kind of like aid that. And also I believe it's supposed to relieve pressure. I could be wrong. I just know that there's certain exercises that you're supposed to do in order to help your hips, to help your muscles, so it aids within the delivery process.
Sure. Well, okay. So now here's one thing that was a misconception for me, because mm-hmm. I know one of the questions I had was like, what was something about the delivery that you don't think people talk about enough? And the one thing I thought is like, you go in and the baby's going to be there within the day. That's what I thought, especially right. if you're getting induced. I figured it's just going to go really fast. And then we read it could be anywhere from 30 or 24 to 48 hours, which mm-hmm. is a day or two. And she was about 32 hours, I think is what it was, something like that, because she was born on 3:30 p.m. on the Tuesday, May 20th, and we went in at like 7:30 a.m. on May 19th. So I thought that you just go in and then it happens and you're pretty much out of there maybe in 24 hours, but they had us stay 2 days afterwards, after you had given birth, so we didn't even get out of the hospital until Thursday. Didn't realize that was a thing. And another thing is, I just thought when you want to breastfeed, they just naturally know how to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they naturally know, I feel like, where it's at, but they don't know how to latch on. I didn't know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they just knew it.
I was in the same boat, which then it did not go well after the second day. And that also, too, does not aid in the postpartumness. That when your baby isn't latching, you feel like you're failing and you feel like you're not doing a good job.
So you felt a sense of failure.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was the hardest part then about that.
Mm-hmm.
See, to me, that was something I feel like nobody talks about. They talk about postpartum depression and stuff like that, but they don't talk about the baby naturally doesn't know how to do these things.
Yeah.
Like,
and I thought they did too.
Yeah. I didn't know that. What did they say that in our birthing class at all? They had to teach them? I can't remember if they did. I know we talked about latching.
Maybe not, but I'm not sure.
I knew it didn't really apply to me. So I kind
of
zoned out.
There was a lot of things in that class. It was very informative, but it was also a lot to remember too. So they could have went over that portion.
So here's what I remember. You weren't dilating at all. It was like,
mm-hmm. I was at one.
It was like 20. No, it was actually more than, it was probably like, I would say close to like almost 30 hours of 1 centimeter maybe dilated.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, geez, how long are we going to be here? And then they gave you that Pitocin, and then that still didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. And then they gave you what they said was Benadryl, and they said that's going to soften the cervix up, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, no, my cervix was inflamed.
Oh, it was inflamed. Okay.
At like noon or 12:30, I think, on Tuesday. And so I went from about then to getting the Benadryl. And within from 12:30 to 3, I felt like I had to go to the bathroom really bad.
Yeah.
And then that's when they said, which number 2. If anybody's curious,
so you had to take a dump and say, felt
apparently
like.
that's a key factor. Cause when I said that, they're like, oh, well, we better check you. And at about 3 o'clock, 3:10, they said, oh, well, you're ready to go. We better call the doctor in. So
yeah, like,
they said, well, maybe the Benadryl is the key. So
Yeah, they said, I remember our doctor, she said, well, I'm going to add that one to the repertoire. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right. So whatever mm-hmm. happened there, because you went from a centimeter and a half to about 7. And then also about an hour later, she's like, we're having a baby. I'm like, oh, this is happening right now. Okay.
Yep.
And it was about 3:10, I think, when you started. And she was out exactly at 3:30.
The other thing people did not warn me about was cervical checks.
Yeah.
That is, for me, one of the most painful things that I went through.
Yeah.
Because not being far along, it was like they were digging for buried treasure. And it was extremely painful, and nobody told me how painful it was going to be. And yeah, so that was, if to prepare any women in the future, be prepared for cervical checks.
Perfect. Now, while mm-hmm. we're in the hospital, how do you rate my support there? You can be honest about it. How was my support while you were in the hospital?
I would say you were at like a 9.5. And I'm not giving you the half point because in the middle of the night on Monday when I was writhing in pain, which I didn't wake you up.
Oh.
I could have, but I didn't. But you were sleeping during that time. I maybe could have used you, but I also didn't wake you, so you didn't know.
Wait, so you're taking a half away, a half a point away because you didn't wake me up?
Correct.
How am I supposed to know what's going on?
Well, that's, I'm just saying.
But I was good other than that.
But other than that, you have been, it's actually been quite surprising.
Oh.
In a great way.
It's
like
surprising.
I mean, I knew you would be good, but I didn't realize how good that
well, that's kind of you say.
Would be and have been.
Oh, and it continues.
Well, you've been, throughout my pregnancy, anything I needed or wanted, you would get.
That's true.
If I wanted to, like you say, I stayed out late, but I knew that if I asked to go home, we would go home. If there was, you just doted on me and it was so respectful and patient. You were extremely patient with me throughout my mood swings. You say I didn't have mood swings, but I definitely felt them.
Maybe because you always say that I'm pretty laid back. Or
you're very patient.
Patient, there you go. So mm-hmm. maybe that's why I didn't really realize. And you know what? Maybe you've just been yelling at me for 10 plus years and I just am used to it.
I don't know, maybe. But you've just done a wonderful job. And so in the delivery process, the only time I could have used you was the time that you were sleeping. But
and you didn't wake me up. Let's make a note of that.
But then afterwards, you've been watching you with Lainey has been watching your daughter and something you've both created, learn to enjoy and be around something that you enjoy so much. Like you're my safe place. You're my home. You're my family. And watching her enjoy being around you just as much as me has been the greatest gift. And you are a very good dad. You're very attentive to her. Anything in the middle of the night I've asked you, even though I feel like I'm about to get a no, you never say no. Even if it's just, I have to go grab this quick, you jump right up and you've helped. You change a lot of dirty diapers, which a lot of husbands and men don't do. And
really?
I've heard.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
That's what a lot of girls I've known have said, that they don't like to do it. Huh. And
I just thought that's just what you do.
I think every man should, since I, you know,
listen,
women.
If you
women,
get away without doing it, lucky you.
Women carry a baby for 9 months, and your body goes through so many changes. The least a dang man can do is change a poopy diaper.
See, now the one thing, when we were at the hospital, I never knew. Especially after she was born, I was like, I don't know if I'm doing enough, if I'm doing my part, because I felt like the nurses are all like, you know, trying to help out and do all their things.
Uh-huh.
And I was always like, well, I'm not sure. Am I doing enough? But then again, we're in a hospital, so the nurses are doing their job. Like, this is what they're going to do. I don't know how to do this. I always just felt like I wasn't doing enough, so I had no idea if I was doing enough. So I kind of felt not useless, but I was like, well, are they thinking like this guy doesn't do anything? He just sits there like a bum. But really, there's nothing I could have really done any differently other than just be there in support.
Right.
So that was one thing I just thought maybe I felt like I wasn't doing anything because of that fact that I was in the hospital. They're kind of waiting on you hand and foot. And I felt like I was supposed to be me, but what can I do? I'm not doing cervical checks.
I mean, well, even with the cervical checks, I always said, come over and grab my hand.
Yep.
And I dug in as much as possible and you didn't care. And that was just really nice to know that if I needed you, you were there.
It was nice that you allowed me to go over to the gym, even though it was right across the street. I mean, that was the nice thing. Because I was there. Right. And like, aren't you having a baby? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, but we're not even close at the moment. I'm like, so I said, if I got a phone call from you to get back immediately, we're having a baby, I would have been right there. But
was that on Monday?
It was on Monday. And then Tuesday, I was there about 3 hours before you gave birth.
Okay.
There was 2 days and I was there. And
yeah, I don't remember you leaving.
Well, I said, take a nap while you can. And yeah. I'll go over to the gym because I'm not going to just sit here while you nap.
Which is probably what happened. I don't fully remember.
Yeah, you were napping. I was told you to take a nap if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so now let's go on to the baby's here. We're past that. Now it's new for both of us as parents at 37 years old. We're new to parenthood, so This is all brand new for us. I've never had a sibling, so I don't know what it was like taking care of a baby ever. In fact, I was never even that comfortable holding a baby. And now
I remember when you would hold my nephew Noah when we first started dating. You were so awkward and it was very timid. I mean, now you two are peas in a pod. You guys get along.
Oh, me and Noah?
Because now he's 11. But and then watching you with her, you're not nervous at all. You do a really great job.
Well, because it's not mine, so if I break mine, you know, or she's mine, you know, so if I break her, it's my fault, and it's mine that's broken. But I was always worried about the neck.
But so, you do a really great job.
Yeah.
We're both learning.
Well, that's the one thing I had is what was one of the biggest adjustments that you've had since she's been here? Maybe, and probably since we've been home, not after we were in the hospital for 2 days, but what's one of the biggest adjustments?
Well, I've always known what to do with babies, so I would say the biggest adjustment has been for me is getting a hold of my anxiety about
as
a newborn.
Which part?
So becoming a new mom of not doing things right, you know, sleeping, so make sure, you know, you and I are getting enough rest, but also waking up and hearing her.
Okay.
Just any worry that you might have, that has been my biggest hurdle.
Okay. See, now for me, it's the adjusting to 2.5 to maybe 3 hours of sleep at a time. That's been tough for me. That was one of my biggest adjustments. Because of the fact that she has this, and everyone always asks me, how's she doing? I go, well, she's eating like a horse right now. Right. But she's on this schedule at night about 9 p.m., midnight, 3-ish, 6 p.m. or 6 a.m.-ish. 9:30 a.m. ish. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there trying to get as much sleep as I can, but I'm not probably going to bed at 9:30 because that's just not what I'm used to. So I almost kind of wait until we're to that like midnight feeding just before that, and then I start sleeping after that. And the hardest part for me is the 6 a.m. one. I don't know what it is about 6 a.m. That's my toughest one. I absolutely hate it. The 3 o'clock in the morning one, I don't really care that much. That's not bad.
Maybe
for
it has
me.
Something to do with how we fall into like a sleep pattern or
the REM sleep. Or, yeah, could be that.
I know it's like by that time your body is trying to get into the REM sleep.
As a kid, I've always liked the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid and an adult, I still absolutely hate the mornings. 6 a.m. to me is just like, ugh. It's just bogged down, tired. I don't like it. The 9:30 one's not bad, but once I'm up and I'm feeding her or changing her diaper or whatever, all of a sudden my body starts waking up. So like 10:30, I'm kind of wide awake now. But that 6 a.m. one, that one's miserable. That one's the worst. I hate it. I don't know what it is. The sun's coming up. Some people love mornings. I absolutely hate them. I've hated them since I was probably her age to now. So
I love morning. It's just the getting up.
See, you know that I like nighttime driving. You think that's miserable. You would rather drive in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I
would rather wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning and drive as the sun's coming up into all day than drive in the middle of the night.
I don't like that. I'd rather drive in the middle of the night.
Nope. So that's why you should just drive in the middle of the night more when we go places if it gets late, because I can't drive by myself.
So here's two questions. I don't know how easy it'll be for you to answer on the spot if you haven't looked at these questions ahead of time. But what was something you learned about yourself so far being a mom in these last 3 weeks, and what's one thing you've learned about me so far that stands out? Is there something that stands out that you learned about yourself?
Well, for you, how attentive you are.
I figured that was probably went along with what you said before.
Yeah, I would. That's been the most surprising. I mean, I knew you would be good. I just didn't realize how good, like this good. Mm. And then for myself, I don't know.
Well, here's what I've learned about you, so you can think about that.
Okay.
One thing I've learned about you is you'll ask me to do some things, but you won't ask me to do as many as I was actually expecting you to ask me to do.
Oh.
I actually expected you to ask me to do more. And there's certain ones I can't do. I can't breastfeed.
Yeah.
Although she's tried to breastfeed on me when I'd carry her down with no shirt on. I'm like, don't mm-hmm. do that. And then the one thing I've learned about myself is I don't mind doing the dishes. I don't mind doing the formula portion. I'm kind of okay with the changing of the diapers. It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that sucks is I don't like when she's wiggling because I don't want her to step in her own poop or pee. And I don't mind doing the feeding.
Yeah.
I get restless myself feeding. But the burping, I'm not that good at. And I don't think it's – I think it's because it's the patience thing. I'm just not patient enough to sit there and pat her on the back a whole bunch and then just sit there and stare. That's just what I –
See, I feel like I'm patient enough to do the burping. It's just when she doesn't do it, I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Okay.
So.
But then it comes out the other end and we're like, oh,
yeah.
There it
and
is.
And then that's what the doctor said. As long as she's going to the bathroom or farting or, you know, it's coming out some way, it's okay. But it still feels like we should be able to get her to burp.
Yeah.
So the thing I've learned about myself is giving that I need to learn to give myself more grace.
Yes, that is true. You do. You need to. That was one thing you were getting really hung up on, the breastfeeding in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like completely hung up on that. And I'm like, you're doing fantastic. I'm like, this one thing, whatever, doesn't matter. There's formula for this.
Okay. So the reason I think I got so hung up on it is because before delivery, everybody would tell me, your body is meant for this.
Oh yeah.
You're a woman. You're meant to deliver. Your body can do this. Don't, you know, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Like, you're meant for this. Well, then everything went great, right? I delivered, things went well. And so then in my mind, I'm thinking my body is meant for breastfeeding. We can do this. We're supposed to do this. You're meant to do this. And then all of a sudden you can't.
Yeah.
And you feel like an absolute failure because nobody tells you that they don't know how. You just assume that they know how. And you feel like you should be able to produce enough or that it should just come so naturally because your body was meant for it.
Sure.
Well, and then when all of a sudden people are telling you this left and right and then you can't, it just takes a really big dig at you. And
that's right. I remember that you were having that issue of, you said your body's meant for this, it's meant for that. Mm-hmm. And then she just wouldn't latch on. And we didn't really know that that was a thing, both of us, but yeah. We're brand new to this. So next baby we'll know.
I mean, now she does great with it. It's just, I think she does it more for comfort than getting enough milk.
Oh yeah, for sure. She's not getting enough. I think it's, yeah, mm-hmm. It's an appetizer.
Yeah, she uses it to fall asleep, and she uses it to feel comfortable, and I still have to pump in order, you know, because I want to give her all the nutrients that breastfeeding gives. I mean, formula is great, too. There's never any shame about, you know, I internalized it a little bit as that there was in the first day or two,
mm-hmm.
that there was shame of not being able to breastfeed. But at the end of the day, I want her to have the whatever will make her healthy and give her all the nutrients she needs. And whether that's from me or whether it's from formula. And I like the fact that we can do both because that also gives you a chance to feed her and be close to her or grandparents or friends that want to help when she's hungry and I need to take a shower or that you need to go do something. It's just, it gives the a more open door.
Sure. Yeah, right. Because if you're just strictly breastfeding, it's mm-hmm. only going to be you then.
Right.
And you know what? I told you, I said, I was a formula baby. I'm ginormous and pretty healthy. Yeah. I was a huge kid, and my immune system is fantastic. So there's really no shame. I mean, breast milk is supposed to be the liquid gold or whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it. But I said, yeah, don't worry about it. And now we've been splitting it up, and it's worked out.
Right. Decent.
So I would say, though, for those who are listening, the breast milk doesn't give her as much gas. That's for sure. But it's probably because
it
natural.
Also doesn't keep her as full.
That's true.
So
true,
they burn through breast milk a lot quicker. So formula does give her a little bit more of a fullness for at least another hour, I would say, or at least that's what the doctor tells us.
Sure.
So on the other hand, she burns through quite a bit, and she's our good eater.
So. Now, I might have to answer this first if you don't have an answer for this at the moment.
Okay.
What's been the funniest or the most expected thing so far since she's been born? I can tell you mine.
I would say two things.
Okay.
I'll go with, I know what yours probably is, but I'll say that second because it's also one of mine. But the first one would probably be when she starts to get really hungry, but she's in a good mood. She becomes like ravenous. She like does this thing with her face and her mouth, and she'd be like, rah, 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 rah. She, it's like she's attacking. It's just the funniest thing. And her little face looks just like yours. So it's just funny watching her get hungry, but she's in a good mood.
Sure.
I love that. And then the other one, obviously, is how much she goes to the bathroom and the waterfall of going to the bathroom of number two. It's just very overwhelming. There's a lot of it.
Well, the one that stands out to me is changing her diaper. I'm like, oh, it's just a nice little wet one. No big deal. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden I lift it up and I'm kind of lifting her legs. All of a sudden, splat, it shot right across the diaper. I'm like, oh, you just painted the thing.
And then it just keeps going.
And then, then the waterfall of pee. And I'm like, what is going on here? So
it's now, like she knows that she's getting changed.
Yes.
And she just can't stop.
No, she just...
Yeah. It's like the air.
I know.
She likes to feel the breeze.
She's freeing. It kind of reminds me of, remember when Cooper would just go to the bathroom in his diaper when mm-hmm. he was like in his last couple months? That's kind of what it reminds me of, because if we let that diaper up, he'd just be peeing as he's walking pretty much. Yep. So it's kind of what she's doing right now. She has no sense of, I'm supposed to do this or I'm not. But that was one of my funniest ones. And Josh told me, he said, for those who listen, Josh Harrison, he's been on the podcast multiple times, but he said one time they were going to change one of theirs and splat, it shot the door. It's like, gross.
And then I would say another thing that is funny and surprising is her, like, her noises.
Yeah.
She makes, we call it when, how do we say it? Like, that she sounds like a little pterodactyl.
Her little.
And she'll, like, make, like, sounds. Yeah. And so she's like, in a good mood, so it makes it extra funny.
Yeah, it's something else. I really like, now I started giving her Eskimo kisses on the nose.
Because
so.
She sucks on your
and
nose.
And then she tries to suck my nose because she thinks it's a nipple. So mm-hmm. that's pretty funny.
She's a good girl.
Well, she's doing fantastic, I think. Here's a question, and you're probably going to be the only one to answer this one. Okay. What's one thing that you wish people would stop saying to new moms? Or maybe stop reiterating.
How are you feeling?
Really? It gets annoying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody
I get
asks
that too all the time
you,
for you.
How are you feeling? And you just say, you say the same thing over again. Hanging in there. That's the same thing for new moms as well as pregnancy. It's always how, which I'm appreciative of everybody's concern, you know, but it's always the same question.
Oh.
They never have any, like, in-depth questions like how's the night going or what's something funny that she does or has she shown any personality traits or just something unique. It's always just how are you feeling?
Sure.
How are you doing? Which I'm am grateful, but it's very repetitive.
It's probably like when you walk by someone and go, hey, how's it going? And people say, yeah. Oh, good.
So okay. Then it's just, you know, I feel like I have the same answer for everybody. Because I'm grateful that they're worried about me, but I just never have anything different to say.
Hey, new questions for those who are listening when you see her. Give her something different.
And then, too, it's like that for a lot of pregnancy, people that are going through that. They ask that, and a lot of pregnant women are just They don't feel great. They don't feel like they look great. They just don't have anything wonderful to feel like. And yeah. And instead of saying, oh, you're glowing, or you could just come up with something else.
Perfect. So now here's a question I got for you is, how do you think that having a baby has changed our relationship for the good or the worse, whichever one? Have things changed between us? For me, I got to say, I don't think it's changed a whole lot between us other than we're getting less sleep, but I think we're still working well together like we always have. Mm-hmm. Now it's just because there's a baby. I don't know if anything you think has changed between us at all.
I think something really cool was actually the night we came home from the hospital and walking through the front door as three instead of two.
That was interesting.
Knowing that, you know, we made her together and that she's equal parts of us. And it's just, to me, that changing factor has been, I've loved that. I wouldn't say like relationship wise we've changed, you know, maybe more if I'm still irritable or my hormones haven't gone back to normal. I feel bad about that sometimes if I get testy, but I try to remind myself that, you know, you're in this just as much as I am and that you have been patient with me. And, you know, it's not, sometimes we can be really selfish when it comes to certain things in life. And I try to remind myself that you are going through this just as much as I am. And I think that's really brought us closer together. And then obviously the nights too, just watching how we work as a team, because the first week, having our moms there was wonderful, but it was different than it is now.
Sure.
You know, us doing it together and taking care of our child together has really, I think, brought us closer together.
Well, you know, you go back to that thing you said is when we came through, there's three people. I was thinking that same thing as we left to go to the hospital. I'm like, well, next time we come home, there'll be three people here, not just two. And then the one thing that was it was more unsurreal or not happy was when we came home, there was no dog to greet us. That was because we were always expecting there to be the four of us and turned out to just be the three of us after
that
so long.
That part was sad, yeah.
Yes, it was sad. I think we're getting through it with it. It just seems like he's just gone and at like a kennel right now. Still doesn't feel like he's just not here, but.
You know, you've told me some things over the last few weeks that about, you know, with Jake, that he's taught us our time with him.
Yep.
You know, feeding and burping and the type of care the intense care that it takes for a dog with special needs has taught us a few things that has kind of relayed into taking care of her.
Sure.
And that's been really eye-opening.
So. Yeah, well, that's one thing for those who are listening. our dog, we had to put down because he had aggressive liver cancer, but he had a special feeding schedule that he had to do, and that was we would have to sit him down because he had something called a motility issue, which is similar to megaesophagus, where the sphincter muscle in his throat wouldn't push the food down to his stomach like everyone else. So we'd have to kind of sit him down and let gravity do its job, and we even had to burp his sides. So it's definitely got us used to this. Mm-hmm. Cooper got us used to changing diapers. cleaning up poop. So we've learned a lot from our dogs to help out Lainey, and I wish she was going to meet one of them, but it just so happens it's not gonna be that way. It's not supposed to be that way, I guess. But I got a question. Pre-pregnancy, is there a piece of advice you would give to yourself before you were pregnant? Or is there a piece of advice you'd give to someone else before they're thinking about getting pregnant, I guess? Maybe that's a better question. Like, how did you feel pre? Was there something you would have done differently prior to pregnancy?
Well, I think, obviously, before you get pregnant, really thinking about who you have children with is a big factor. Making it somebody that, you know, you trust with your life, that is somebody that's there for you, and you believe that will be there for your children, and somebody that's worth it, you know?
Sure.
And then two, it's, I think, preparing yourself for the unknown, which is a little bit easier said than done, but you don't know how your pregnancy is going to go. I found out that, you know, I don't know exactly how true this is, but your pregnancy is determined by the man's health because of the placenta.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told. It could be wrong, but this is what I've been told. And their health will determine how your pregnancy goes. So if you're severely sick or if it goes really well. Maybe finding a man that is healthy and or takes care of himself.
Sure.
Could factor some, maybe, hopefully. And then be prepared for your body changes and then the way you're going to... and give yourself some grace of how you see yourself in the mirror. Okay. Because that was hard for me. And if I would have thought about that a little bit more in the beginning, I think I probably wouldn't have been as hard on myself with clothes. And because you go through this period of, so in the beginning, you don't really look pregnant. You feel pregnant, but you don't look pregnant. And then you start to grow. And then you have like this awkward period where you just feel frumpy, but you don't really still look pregnant. And then one day you wake up and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? And then you can fit into, you know, you have a cute bump and you can, you know, wear the fun maternity clothes. But that awkward period of you're not quite in maternity clothes, but you don't fit into your normal clothes. And then, and now, too, even after pregnancy, fitting into old clothes is still kind of difficult. So
yeah, well, that's one thing, you know, as you've told us about your journey, one thing I would tell someone that's a woman, I suppose, pre-pregnancy mm-hmm. is know that you're probably going to feel frumpy and you're not going to feel amazing all the time like mm-hmm. you're used to right now, which that could get people depressed, I guess.
Yeah.
So, well, as we're starting to wind down here, lastly, what kind of parent do you hope to be? Or not be? It could also be, what do you not want to be?
I'll
go first. All right, good. Because okay. I've already kind of known this. I want to be the parent that's always going to be there for the sports. Like, my parents are always there for my sports and stuff of that nature. Always being supportive. Here's the big one for me. Always being supportive of her dreams, no matter how crazy they may be mm-hmm. or outlandish. And for myself, if it's something she wants to do, how can I help her support that journey, even if I'm not good at it? So if she were into sports, I can help out with pretty much all of those things to a certain extent. But if she wants to get into something else like music
yeah.
or theater or something of that nature, that I look forward to as a challenge if she wants to do those kinds of things. Because as I've gotten older here and I've started doing the podcasting and the wrestling portion, I've enjoyed the acting and I've enjoyed entertainment more than I'm starting to enjoy sports these days. Sports, it's all I really knew growing up. And now as I'm doing other things, even when it comes to business, that's kind of fun. But doing the podcasting, entertaining, that's fun. So if she wants to get into that, I will probably even do lessons with her. So let's say she wanted to do the piano. I'd say, hey, let's take piano lessons together if you want me to, because why not learn it with her and be supportive in that way? And she says, I want to be a famous singer. I got your back. I can do karaoke. I'm pretty good at that, but my voice sucks. So I always hope to be a very supportive parent in all aspects of whatever she wants to do. And that's just hope. And also I want to teach her things too, obviously. I'm just naturally a teacher, it seems. So yeah. I think that's one thing. Everyone keeps saying, don't have her grow up any faster. You know, don't wish that. I'm like, this is a cute little phase. But I like the part where she'll be able to maybe walk and I can teach her things. Then right. You can start slowing it down. But this phase of up every 3 hours and eating and crapping her pants, mm-hmm. this is getting a little old. And I always ask people, I'm like, how do you have 4 kids? This sounds terrible doing this 4 times. And they go, just talk to you at the gym. He goes, well, you get past that part and you kind of forget about it. And then you have another kid and you go, oh, why do we do that? And then you forget about it. And then, oh, we're back to it again.
Yeah.
I'm like, 2 is our max. I can't do more than 2. This is getting rough. And we're only 3 weeks in, going on to four. But they say right around after about 1 month, things start slowing down a little bit. But she's eating pretty good, though. More than I think that I was expecting her to eat at this point. So back to you then. What kind of parent do you hope to be or not be?
I hope to be like my mom. I would say is somebody you can, that she can depend on, somebody that she trusts, sure. Somebody that she knows loves her unconditionally, no matter what, and is there for her and supports her, like you say, in all of her dreams and anything that she wants to do with her life. I believe that we all have our own path, that God has a plan for all of us, and I just want her to know that we're there for her and that we support her and that we show her what it means to have a healthy, loving relationship so that she then later in life has a healthy, loving relationship.
Yep.
And also friendships. And you know, I believe that you show by actions instead of words. And I think us doing well will help her do well. So I just want to be the mother that she needs.
Yep.
And whatever that may entail.
Yep. And the one thing I want to instill in her is respect, because I feel like if a kid respects people,
mm-hmm.
everything else kind of, I always told my former students, if you respect someone, everything else falls underneath. It just kind of falls in place. You're right. Kind to them. You're reliable. You're loyal. You're honest. All those things fall under respect. So that's the one thing I was always instilled in with grandpa and grandmas. Like, you go and give them their hugs and yep. kisses or whatever, goodbye. And then you say your goodbyes. And I always loved my grandparents. So that was the easy thing for me. But then if she needs a little spanking, she's going to get a little whooping on the butt, I think. And she'll just have to deal with it. But hopefully we never get to that part.
She is a very good girl already. And I just know that it's going to continue because we are going to teach her how to be respectful and loving and good with people and anybody older than her. And with teachers and all that implies.
So. And one thing I gotta give a shout out to a lot of our friends who have come over and already seen her.
Yeah.
There's probably only been one, maybe two nights in the last 3 weeks where we haven't had a visitor. And people will come over with lunches or dinners. Or even come over and they'll feed. Like, Katie comes over, she just loves kids. Mm-hmm. She comes over and feeds, changes diapers. I'm like, I feel kind of like I'm supposed to be doing this, but mm-hmm. I love that you're doing this because I don't want you if I don't have to change your poopy diaper. That, if you want to do that, but
we've definitely had a lot of wonderful support.
Yeah, and a lot of people have said, oh, doesn't it get sickening? I'm like, no, actually, I like that they come over because mm-hmm. I want her to get used to people. I want her socialized so she's used to being in someone else's arms. She's held so when we have daycares or whatever as in the future, that way she's used to being around other people and is not scared to be around other people.
Well, that, and it kind of slowly introduces her to germs and for her immune system. And
they'll have to wash their hands before they touch her. So.
Yes.
Well, lastly, Lainey, we have to plug this. Grandpa.
Slowly easing her way.
Grandpa already has a college fund for you and a piggy bank.
Oh, sweetie. Thank you, piggy bank.
It's chock full of change already. And so Grandpa's already got you a college fund going here.
Look at that.
And people can just donate if necessary. You can always come into the Speakeasy Studios or the Brews and Crews Private Lounge, and you put your change in there, hundreds of dollar bills in there, and it goes right into her piggy bank. Someday we're going to show this to your husband, and he's going to laugh and go, what the heck are you doing? Well, as you can tell, she's actually a very good girl because we've been going for about an hour, and we've only heard maybe a couple squawks out of her, but no whining. She was fed just before.
She's only really fussy when she needs something. So
we've been very blessed with that situation. Mm-hmm. So keep doing it. Keep it up. And her outfit is adorable because that was her theme for her baby shower, was wildflowers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's kind of turned into a little bit of half Winnie the Pooh.
That and animals and her doggy brothers that are no longer with us.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is where we wrap it up. Then anything else you want to give any advice to any parents that are older? You could do it. You can still do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
And there's still time.
Because we're still planning on having one more.
Yes.
So you can still do this in your upper 30s, folks, or your early 40s, as some people have told me. I've had one in the early 40s. I couldn't believe it. So I'm like, oh, okay. So, but yes, for those who are listening, remember, as this TV screen says, like, share, subscribe, and 5-star this podcast. Follow it on whatever platform you listen to this on. It really helps the algorithm and helps people find this a lot easier. Comment if you think you heard something fun or maybe even insightful from us. And obviously, a new mom, Stephanie, over there is doing a killer job with little Lainey Monroe. And Lainey, it's time to go home. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for tuning in for this week's episode with my wife, Stephanie, and our daughter, Lainey. And we are going to give one big cheers. Are you able to do it?
You might have to hand it to me.
One big cheers before we go.
Cheers.
Have a great week.